You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire. Google patches a Chrome Zero Day, ransomware attacks against infrastructure, Doppelpaymer prepares to dox its victims, how CISA and NSA cooperate, Dallas County, Iowa finally drops charges against pen testers, Mr. Assange's evolving defense against extradition to the U.S., notes on RSAC 2020, and if you were a superhero, which superhero would you be? Coming to you from the 2020 RSA Conference in San Francisco, I'm Dave Bittner with your CyberWire summary for Wednesday, February 26, 2020. Google has patched a Chrome Zero Day that's undergoing active exploitation in the wild. Mountain View isn't saying much about how, where, or by whom the vulnerability is being exploited. It's CVE-2020-6418. In fact, Google's not really saying anything at all, confining itself to this terse observation. Google is aware of the reports that an exploit for CVE-2020-6418 exists in the wild. The Zero Day is a type confusion issue, one in which an app initiates data execution of a certain type of input, but is subsequently fooled into treating the input as a different type. Exploitation could give an attacker the ability to run malicious code within an application. Two other non-zero days are also fixed in the update. Users are advised by multiple experts to patch. EnergyWire says the Coast Guard has confirmed that the ransomware attack against a natural gas facility CISA warned of on February 18th was in fact the same incident the U.S. Coast Guard reported in a December Maritime Safety Information Bulletin. Dragos offered the same evaluation last week. FireEye notes the ways in which industrial systems have become increasingly attractive targets for ransomware operators. The extortionists are now frying bigger fish than Heartland school districts. Concerns about ransomware are high on the list for those charged with defensive infrastructure. As FCW reports, CIA Director Krebs observed this week at RSA. As if to give point to those concerns, a small electrical utility in Massachusetts, the Reading Municipal Light Department, has disclosed that it sustained a ransomware attack last Friday. Another big trend in ransomware is stealing files in addition to simply encrypting them. Bleeping Computer notes that the operators of Doppelpaymer ransomware have now adopted the increasingly common tactic of adding doxing to the traditional threat of data loss. Doppelpaymer has established a site where it will post private files stolen from victims who decline to pay their ransom. An RSAC panel hosted by CyberScoop featured the directors of two major U.S. agencies, NSA's Cybersecurity Directorate, led by Ann Neuberger, and the Department of Homeland Security's Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Directorate, led by Christopher Krebs. The organizations see their roles and missions as complementary and offering a good scope for collaboration. Work against the Russian influence operations and other information operations that targeted the 2016 elections and that have since continued, spurred more effective information sharing. And Microsoft's January patches provided an important opportunity for the two agencies to reach out to the public on an urgent matter of online security. Dallas County, Iowa has ended its bungling and discreditable treatment of two coal fire penetration testers, dropping all felony burglary and criminal trespass charges against them, InfoSecurity Magazine reports. In another legal case, the extradition hearing in the matter of Mr. Julian Assange continues at Woolwich Crown Court. Reuters reports that barristers working on behalf of the WikiLeaks proprietor branded U.S. allegations that Mr. Assange helped the then U.S. Army Specialist Bradley Manning hack into classified systems as lies, lies, and more lies, a position that the American prosecutors, of course, are unwilling to accept. Mr. Assange's counsel also took on another central U.S. contention that WikiLeaks' publication of material then Specialist Manning stole put lives at risk. On the contrary, argued lawyer Mark Summers, when Mr. Assange learned that unredacted copies of the material he'd received and prepared to share with various media were about to become public, he tried to warn U.S. authorities, calling the State Department and asking to speak with then-Secretary Hillary Clinton to warn her that lives were on the line and that something needed to be done. She didn't take his call, Mr. Assange's defense team said, and no one got back to him in the promised couple of hours. Keith Malarski held leadership positions with the cybersecurity team in the Pittsburgh office of the FBI, and under his team's watch, several high-profile criminals and organizations were brought to justice. These days, Keith Malarski is with the team at EY. He stopped by our booth at RSA to share his insights.
I had spent 20 years at the FBI, and you know, at that time, you're eligible to retire. Just a great opportunity to kind of still continue fighting the fight. Mm-hmm. But just from the other side, Ernst & Young gave me just a great opportunity to come and be a leader in their cyber practice and continue doing threat intelligence and incident response and being able to help clients just from the other side. So it's been a great transition.
What sort of insights have you gained from being on the other side? Has it given you a fresh perspective from what you had before?
I think one of the things was the state of cybersecurity is a lot worse than I thought. You know, being on this side, I thought it was a little bit better. The other thing is just, it's all about defense. Whereas when I was in the FBI, you know, it was, you're doing offensive, defensive and investigations. So it is a little bit of a different beast, but fun nonetheless.
So in terms of the things you have your eye on these days, particularly when it comes to ransomware, what are you and your colleagues at Ernst & Young focused on?
So when I look at ransomware, I really look at that as probably the biggest cyber criminal threat affecting companies today. Hmm. You know, in the past, you know, you had different banking Trojans and they were doing account takeovers. Over the last 5-6 years, the banks have gotten really good at stopping big wire transfers going out. Mm-hmm. So these organized crime groups, it's not profitable to do those big wire transfers because they're just not as successful. But they're leveraging that access that they had now to do what we're calling enterprise hunting ransomware or big game hunting ransomware.
I'm curious, too. I mean, from your point of view, I know the line from the FBI forever has been don't pay the ransom.
Right.
Now that you're on the other side, do you still believe that's the way to go?
Well, yeah. I mean, I believe that you shouldn't pay the ransom because that's just giving money to a criminal organization.
Right.
And I believe that if you have really good cyber hygiene and security practices put in place, that you can prevent the majority of these attacks. So you shouldn't even be in a position to have to pay these ransoms. So, you know, what you really want to kind of do with these groups is kind of put together a playbook because they all do follow a pattern. And once you know their playbook, you can build defenses around that.
Yeah. Everybody has a limited budget, right? Mm-hmm. And they have to allocate the various things that, you know, dial in the percentages to various things. What's your tips for folks who have ransomware front of mind? Mm-hmm. How should they be approaching that from a practical point of view?
Well, I think you have to use intelligence to really drive your business practice. You really need to understand where your crown jewels are. You need to be able to know where your risks are. And make a business decision based on a risk. You know, can you be 100% secure? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. But you need to manage, your risk to a level where you're comfortable that, hey, my spend is at this right level to lower my risk to this level, and that's acceptable, for that. And that's what you have to do. And the only way to do that is really to have good intelligence on where your crown jewels are and also, you know, the techniques and tactics used by the threat actors out there.
Well, what are you tracking in terms of evolution in these ransomware groups, how they're coming at people? What are the trends there?
Yeah, so one of the biggest trends that we're seeing lately is because, you know, people don't want to pay the ransom. Or they're restoring from backups. You know, what we're seeing then is now a couple of the groups. I just saw Doppelpaymer, Maze is another group right now, where since they're in your network for 30 to 45 days, they're stealing documents. And now they're saying, if you don't pay the ransom, now we're going to post your confidential documents. So we're seeing a trend for them to try to really make sure that they get that money, you know, from you.
Turn up the heat.
Turn up the heat a little bit.
That's Keith Malarski from EY. To return to RSAC 2020, what's our sense of the conference this year? We will say that the event is well attended, despite the last-minute high-profile cancellations announced last week. It is perhaps a bit more subdued than we've seen in previous years. Some of the sense of reserve is no doubt due to concerns about COVID-19, the coronavirus strain that prompted those 11th-hour withdrawals. Hand sanitizer stations are much in evidence, and people seem less apt to shake hands. More generally, and with respect to the business of cybersecurity, we're getting a vibe that people see small businesses, the mom and pops, as underserved by the sector. Finally, inspired by Cisco's launch of its SecureX platform at RSAC, and especially by the news that SecureX's internal name had been Thanos, Market Watch wonders what superheroes exemplify the spirit of various cybersecurity companies. Technically, Thanos is a supervillain, but we'll leave that aside. They confined themselves to the Marvel Universe, so DC superheroes need not apply. Iron Man was the superhero most companies chose as their muse and role model, followed by Captains America and Marvel, with Sue Storm, Vision, Shuri, Doctor Strange, and Ant-Man, the Hank Pym version, thank you very much, also crossing the finish line. To our industry's shame, not a one of them chose Dr. Charles Xavier, the Silver Surfer, an obvious choice, one would think, for any browser security vendor, or the Ancient One. Sad. MarketWatch had some suggestions for the various companies they talked to, and their suggestions struck us as better than the company's preferred superheroes. Again, sad. For our part, we call J. Jonah Jameson.
He's what you call high energy.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud.
Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
And joining me once again is Justin Harvey. He's the Global Incident Response Leader at Accenture. Justin, great to have you join us here at RSA 2020.
It is great to be here. Hopefully we're coronavirus free.
I know. Everybody's fist bumping and rubbing elbows instead of shaking hands. And
exactly.
There's lots of hand sanitizer being distributed just about everywhere. You've had a little bit of time to walk around and take in some of the sites to see. What's your sense so far on this year's RSA conference?
Well, my sense so far is there are so many vendors out there.
Yeah.
You have Moscone North, which is several football field size full of vendors. Then you've got the tunnel between the two. It has a lot of startups, smaller booths.
Right.
And then you have Moscone South, which is, again, the same footprint as Moscone North, several football fields of vendors.
Right.
And we're seeing a few common themes. The first theme is that it seems that there is a lot of technical solutions looking for business problems.
Oh.
So there are so many vendors out there, and I often wonder if I was a CISO or part of the C-suite of even a small, medium-sized business, let alone a G2000 company, it is absolutely overwhelming, all of the blitz of vendors. There are intelligence vendors. Everything is intelligence-led or intelligence-embedded.
Right.
There are platform plays, and everyone says they have a platform. Even if you have a little point solution, it's better to call it a platform.
Right. That's like years ago, it was not just a product, it's a solution.
Exactly.
Now it's a platform. Right?
Exactly. And there's all of the normal cast of characters that you would expect. All of the big vendors out there, like the FireEye, the Ciscos, the Gigamons, the Palo Altos, they're all out there.
Yeah.
And then you've got your medium and smaller players out there. There's an equal mix of cloud and threat detection, endpoint, network. But we're also seeing a resurgence of identity and access management solutions and privileged access monitoring. So I think that's really picking up, and less on the GRC side and less on regulation.
And what do you think is driving those trends?
Well, I think just like we put out in our cost of cybercrime report a few weeks ago, the number of incidents and number of breaches are going up, and the average cost of breaches are also going up. We've been tracking it with the Ponemon Institute for the last 5 years, and it has gone up 72%. 72% in the average cost of a breach. And just in this last year alone, it's gone up 13.7%. So there are more breaches happening, clearly, and they are costing a lot more. So we're seeing a lot more vendors out there. But I do believe this is probably, I think we're nearing the end of the line here. I think the bubble is about to burst on these companies.
Just earlier this week, I was talking to someone who is a VC funder. And she was saying that that there's so many of these companies where it seems as though they don't have so much a product as they have a feature.
Right.
You know, something that would be nice to add to the things that we already have, but it probably can't stand on its own. I wonder how much is this a result of there's so much money in the sector right now that maybe it's not hard to get someone to put a little, you know, juice behind you when you're getting started up enough to come here and show your wares at RSA.
Yeah, I think that there are a lot of point solutions and add-ons out there, but I think the market for those types of organizations with their products it may be dwindling, because if you put yourself in the mind or in the shoes of a CISO, he or she grapples every day with a very large technology stack. It's really hard to continue to add little point solutions on. And every time you buy a piece of software, there's the time invested in procurement and doing the contracts. Then you've got to install and configure it. Then you've got to maintain it and monitor it. So it becomes quite difficult to keep up with all of them.
What's your strategy for a show like this in terms of takeaways, of getting out there? You know, what are the things that you want to learn from a big show like this?
Well, I'm out here primarily to talk to you, Dave.
Oh, brother.
And a little pandering there.
Yes.
So I'm out here to talk about our services and what we're seeing in the market. I'm also here to talk to our biggest clients and customers.
Absolutely.
And I think the tertiary goal is to really walk the floor and look for those nuggets, those diamonds in the rough, because I know I'm not going to find the diamonds in the rough in the big halls. Really,
yeah.
It's going through investment alley, the startup alley with all these little vendors, and you'll find one or two of these that perhaps make good acquisition targets or good partners or allies in the fight, and being able to find these innovative solutions is really core to our business.
Mm. All right. Well, as always, Justin Harvey, thanks for taking the time out of a busy show to come visit us.
Thank you.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. And for professionals and cybersecurity leaders who want to stay abreast of this rapidly evolving field, sign up for CyberWire Pro. It'll save you time and keep you informed. Listen for us on your Alexa smart speaker, too. The CyberWire podcast is proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. Our amazing CyberWire team is Elliot Peltzman, Peru Prakash, Stefan Vaziri, Kelsey Bond, Tim Nodar, Joe Kerrigan, Carol Terrio, Ben Yellen, Nick Vilecki, Gina Johnson, Bennett Moe, Chris Russell, John Petrick, Jennifer Iben, Rick Howard, Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow.